Hello, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops, bringing you a Week 7 Fantasy Basketball Waiver Wire video. We'll be discussing the top players on waiver wires that are available in at least 40% of leagues, and we'll also be covering, if you stay until the end, deep league targets that can help your team in the short term and possibly even the long term. That video starts right now. If you're enjoying this content and it's been helping you so far this season, please do me a favor and smash that like button and subscribe to Brock Lesnar Hoops if you have not yet. Do keep in mind that this week is a little weird due to the in-season tournament. Most teams are only playing about two games, so it's going to be a rough week for a lot of people depending on how your schedule is laid out. And there's going to be a lot of value in having players that are playing Monday and Tuesday, so that's something you want to keep in mind. So Killian Hayes is a player that we've discussed a few times now. He started off the season really strongly, but then Jaden Ivey started getting minutes. He was relegated back to minutes in the teens, but the last two games, he has seen those minutes rise up. He did get the start, and he's produced two games in a row now. That rotation is a bit of a mess. You have the coach putting people in, putting people out, and it's difficult to give you a recommendation when I don't know how solidified any of these minutes are going to be. Keep in mind that Killian Hayes has been producing well when given the opportunity, and that's two games in a row where he's been getting minutes. He's been more efficient so far this season. He's getting you steals, 0.7 blocks. There's a lot to like from his production. Hopefully, he can keep it going. Reggie Jackson has been a solid pickup over the last few weeks. You can see here that over the last 2 weeks, he's shooting 55% from the field on 13.6 shot attempts per game. The free throw percentage is lower than we expect from him at only 69%, but he's only getting 1.6 attempts per game. He's hitting 2.1 threes, 18.3 points, 3.5 rebounds, 6.4 assists. The steals and blocks, not anything great. Two turnovers per game, but he's getting you 6.4 assists. He is benefiting from the fact that Jamal Murray has not been playing. If he continues to produce, get shot attempts and minutes with Jamal Murray back, he might have season-long value, but it's still too early to determine. In the short term, he's worthy of picking up. Keyontae George has been killing your efficiency if you have him on your team, but there are some things to like. You can see there, last game played 36 minutes, only 7 of his 17 shots, but even above 40% is better than he's been doing for the season. He drew 10 free throws, only hit 6, but the fact that he drew 10 free throws, to me, paints a story about his aggressiveness. He got you 21 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. That did come along with 4 turnovers, so we want to see the turnovers get lower. If this guy refines and polishes his game later on this season and he's getting you the goodies without hurting you as much, he's going to be rostered in a lot of leagues. I've been holding on to him where I have him. I've been stomaching the bad games because the opportunity is there. The playing time is there. A young player with opportunity equals success, especially late in the season when teams start trying to tank for picks. Malik Monk is just barely making the cutoff. He is 60% rostered now. He's getting some attention not only due to his recent play. You can see their last game had 26 points, 4 threes, 14 shot attempts, shot 64%, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 turnovers. He also plays today on a very light scheduled day. So if Malik Monk is available in your league, he's been really productive and he has been producing with De'Aaron Fox back in the fold, which is very promising for his long term. This next guy went undrafted in most leagues. Most drafts I did, he wasn't picked up at all. And now he is 52% rostered. He is on my Milwaukee Bucks. He's had the opportunity, and he's actually a player I told you about during the offseason in some of my draft videos as having sleeper potential. Figured out who I'm talking about. Malik Beasley has had a strong couple of weeks. Let's go ahead and look at his season stats. So over the last 2 weeks, he's hitting 3.3 threes per game, getting 13.7 points, 6 rebounds, 1.9 assists. 1.1 steals, 0.4 blocks, only 1.1 turnovers. So even though he's not helping you with the assists, he is keeping the turnovers low, taking double-digit shot attempts, making 46% of his shots. And even if you go to the last month, he's still scoring 12.5 points, getting you close to a steal, 48% from the field, and just shy of 10 field goal attempts per game. The Bucks are pretty top-heavy, don't have a lot of depth. They traded away a lot of their guard depth, so Malik Beasley has a lot of opportunity to produce. If he's still available in your league, I would give him a look. Cam Reddish only plays one game tomorrow for the week, but tomorrow is a very light day, and it may be a day where you have no people playing at all, and that could cost you the week later on. So if you can get a couple of games on Tuesday and you're in one of those situations where you can afford to drop someone, because what's going to happen is you're going to have a loaded Wednesday schedule and a lot of people on the bench. If you could drop one of those guys and maybe pick up someone like Cam Reddish and get a couple of games on that light day, and you happen to use that strategy and your opponent does not, you can win the week against some very good teams. Cam Reddish came back from injury. He's somebody that's been hitting threes. He's somebody that's been getting a lot of steals in the minutes that he's been getting. So it makes some sense to give him a look. He is only 12% rostered right now. Josh Hart is only 49% rostered right now. And the Knicks also play on Tuesday. Like I told you, a lighter day for the schedule this week. You can see in his last game, played 31 minutes, made 7 of his 11 shots. 3 3-pointers, 17 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, had a block. He hasn't been very consistent so far this season, but we know historically he is a guard that can get you a lot of rebounds for his position and can contribute a little bit across the board. That last game shows us what he's capable of. So he's available in your league and you're trying to load up on games tomorrow, he makes for a good target. The Kings only play one game this week, with that game being tonight. So if you're able to pick up somebody like Harrison Barnes today and then drop them for a player that's playing tomorrow, you can really load up the schedule against your opponents, especially if they're not doing that. So I'm trying to stress the importance of that strategy, especially this week with the schedule being so funky. Harrison Barnes is a low-end pickup, probably not someone you're going to keep long-term unless we see more consistency from him. We can look at his stats over the last few weeks. So over the last 2 weeks, he's at 14.7 points, shooting 52% from the field, 93% from the free throw line, 14.7 points, 3.8 rebounds, 1.2 assists, 0.7 blocks, 0.7 steals, and 0.2 blocks. Only 0.5 turnovers per game. So he's not really hurting you in any particular categories. Not sexy production, but useful production. Jaime Jaquez Jr. has been very solid over the last couple of weeks. You can see that over the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 17.6 points, 4.7 rebounds, 3.3 assists, 1.3 steals, 0.1 blocks, getting you 1.7 turnovers, 12.3 shot attempts per game. He's hitting almost 56% of his shots, drawing almost 3 free throws, making them at a clip of almost 79%. Really solid categories production. Right there, he's only 57% rostered. I would pick him up to see if he continues getting minutes. Do keep in mind that the Heat have not been very healthy. You have players like Bam Adebayo missing time. Jimmy Butler was recently missing time. Tyler Hero's been out. So when the Heat are at full strength, chances are his minutes would probably drop. But we don't know that for sure. If he continues producing, he may play himself into a consistent role. At the very least, you want to have him on your radar. Grayson Allen has been pretty hit or miss, but he has minutes, he has opportunity, and typically when he's getting minutes and opportunity, he can go off on any given night. Especially targeting him, I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it again, because of the light schedule tomorrow, December 5th, the Suns do play, so he's a guy that you can pick up for his ability to contribute a little bit across the board. You can see last game, he drew 6 free throws, hit 6 of them, only made 1 of his 4 field goal attempts, but still got you a 3, 9 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal with 2 turnovers. The game before that had 13 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and shot 55% on his 9 attempts. So, like I said, he can be pretty hit or miss, but with that light schedule tomorrow, he's somebody that I would consider picking up. I'd say in 12 teams or deeper. Sadiq Bey is 50% rostered and has really been benefiting from the absence of Jalen Johnson. You can see over the last week, coinciding with the absence of Jalen Johnson, he's been at 14.7 points per game, 5.7 rebounds, 1.3 assists, hitting 3 3-pointers per game, taking 7.7 field goal attempts, making 65% of them. That's crazy. 3 3-pointers per game, 65% from the field. That's scorching hot. 1.7 of his 2 3-pointers per game for a clip of 83%. 1.7 steals, so almost 2 steals per game. Only 0.3 turnovers per game. Not getting you any blocks, but that is some really solid production you're getting from Sadiq Bey right now. The schedule isn't ideal. His games are Wednesday and Friday, which are probably going to be your loaded days. But he has long-term value, in my opinion, at least until they get Jalen Johnson back. I know a few weeks ago, one of my subscribers questioned me for mentioning Patrick Williams as a potential pickup. But let's dive into his numbers to see if that was a good call on my part. So over the last week, Patrick Williams is taking 11.7 field goal attempts per game. He is shooting 51%. 2 free throw attempts per game, only hitting 33% of them. 0.7 3-pointers made, 13.3 points, 4.3 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 1.7 steals, 1.7 blocks. So that's 3.4 combined stocks, only 1.3 turnovers per game. So for the steals, blocks, efficiency from the field, that production is juicy. And if you go over to the last 2 weeks, he's at 13 points, 4.6 rebounds, 1.1 assists, still at 0.9 steals, 1 block per game, still keeping the turnovers low, and the threes go up to 1.6 threes per game, still shooting 52% from the field. He's very inconsistent, and the production can be sporadic, but right now, he is putting up some useful numbers. I've been mentioning Derek Lively now for the last few weeks, and he finally had the kind of game that's going to put him on the map. In a loss against OKC, played 39 minutes, made 9 of his 9 field goal attempts. His free throws, not great, only made 2 of the 5 that he drew, but he had 20 points, 16 rebounds, a steal, an absurd 7 blocks, only 2 turnovers. I've been telling you since the preseason that this guy is a blocks monster. In college, got you almost 2 blocks per game in only 20 minutes per game. And we saw him doing that in preseason. And I liked the opportunity that was there for him on a Dallas team that doesn't have great big men. So to have a big, strong, athletic big man that could play defense, probably the closest center they've had to someone like Tyson Chandler ever since their championship year. And someone I figured would partner really well with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. A game like that last one, I'm going to tell you he can do that every night, but it shows the massive potential that he has for a player that kind of tends to fall by the wayside in discussions about the top rookies. Anthony Edwards has been missing a couple of games, and Naz Reid has been one of the players to benefit. You can see there over the last week, taking 10.7 field goal attempts per game, making 56% of them. The free throw percentage, only getting 0.7 attempts per game, but making all of them. Free throw percentage at 100%. 2 threes per game, 14.7 points, 5 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 0.7 steals, 1 block per game, only 1 turnover per game. That's really useful production, getting a center that can get you that block and 2 threes per game. It's a very small sample size, but if he's getting minutes, he can help your team. Thank you for hanging around. Now we're going to discuss the players that are available in at least 80% of leagues. These are guys that can help you in those deeper formats. Peyton Pritchard is getting some traction this week. Plays tonight against Indiana. Lighter day today. And he's been getting some minutes around the low 20s. Over the last week, he's shooting 41% from the field, 100% from the free throw line. 2.5 3-pointers made per game, 10.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1 steal, no blocks, no turnovers. Very small sample size, but in a very deep format, he's only 6% rostered, maybe worthy of some consideration. Andrew Nembhard is a guy that normally steps up when Tyrese Haliburton is going to miss games. which is what happened over the weekend. He played 23 minutes, took 9 shots, only made 1 of them, took 2 free throws, made 2 of them, had 4 points, 1 rebound, 11 assists, 1 steal, no blocks, no turnovers. He can get a lot of assists in a hurry in those situations where Tyrese Haliburton is not playing. But when Tyrese Haliburton is healthy, he gets relegated back to a bench role where he doesn't really have the opportunity to do much. If Tyrese Haliburton were ever to miss significant time, Andrew Nembhard is going to be a hot pickup. So at least keep that in mind, especially if you're a Tyrese Haliburton owner. TJ McConnell is another player that benefits when Tyrese Haliburton is not playing. He did the exact opposite, though. Played 25 minutes, made 10 of his 11 shots for a scorching 90% from the field. At 20 points, 2 rebounds, also had 11 assists, no steals, no blocks, only 1 turnover. TJ McConnell has shown he can be a fantasy beast when given the opportunity, but the opportunities are far and in between at this point in his career. But when Tyrese Haliburton does not play, TJ McConnell is another guy that you want to have in mind. Dante DiVincenzo is only 8% rostered, and the Knicks play against the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow, again on that light scheduled day. You can see in his last game, made 7 of his 10 shots, had 21 points, made 7 three-pointers. The game before that, hit 4 three-pointers. Has hit at least 2 three-pointers his last 4 games, and you can see going back roughly 7 games, he's hit 7 three-pointers in 2 different games now, so he has the ability to get hot quickly. He's only 8% rostered, so in those deeper formats, he's somebody that you want to pick up. Aaron Naismith is playing tonight, and in his last game, had 29 minutes, hit 4 three-pointers, made 7 of his 9 shots, had 20 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, and a block. He's a guy that, when given the minutes, can score and produce for you, but his production has been pretty sporadic. It looks like he may be getting hot, though, so give him a look. I'd say in 14 teams or deeper, in a 12-team league, you can probably find better options. He's only 16% rostered. Do you know what time it is? It's Roko time. Robert Covington is getting some attention. Only 10% rostered, but in the last 2 games he's played, has played 30 minutes. Last game, scored 18 points, 3 three-pointers, made 4 of his 9 shots. Drew 7 free throws, hit all 7, 3 three-pointers, 5 steals, and a block. And he's been getting you blocks going back now. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row getting you a block. So far for the season, he's averaging 1.5 steals, 0.8 blocks. So he's producing really well for a guy that's only 10% rostered. We do get Kelly Oubre back this week, it looks like. Nicholas Batum has missed some time. Joel Embiid has missed some time. So the team hasn't been fully healthy. So it remains to be seen if he'll be producing this way once the team is closer to full health. At least in the short term, if you could use 3 steals, blocks, and he continues getting 30-plus minutes, Robert Covington is going to be on a lot more rosters. So proceed with caution. Lord Covington may be making his triumphant return. Jared Vanderbilt returned after not playing any game so far this season. Only played 14 minutes, didn't really produce much in that limited time, but that was his first game back. Jared Vanderbilt has shown himself to be a big that can rebound, can get you some assists, and has the ability to get you a lot of steals from the power forward position. It remains to be seen what his ultimate role ends up being on a Lakers team that has a lot of other options. But at the very least, in a deeper format, you don't want to ignore some of his past production. And we can see here, look at his averages for 2022. He averaged 7.9 points, 7.5 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 1.1 steals, only 1.2 turnovers, 54% from the field. So it's low end production, but in those deeper formats where the waiver wire could be bare, Jared Vanderbilt might make some sense as a potential sleeper. Omer Yurtseven has surprisingly been starting over Walker Kessler. You can see here over the last 2 weeks, he's averaging almost 6 shot attempts per game, making 51% of them. Only 0.9 free throw attempts, but making 83% of them, getting you a third of a 3 per game, 7 points, almost 8 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 0.4 steals, 0.9 blocks. Over the last week, those numbers changed to 5 points, 9 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 5 steals, 1 block per game. In his last game, a win against Portland, played 27 minutes, took 8 shots, made 4 of them, had 9 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, a block, only 1 turnover. He's only 5% rostered. He's getting minutes. He's starting right now. Will that change? Probably, but so far it has not. It might be, and I think my theory is that the Jazz are stealth tanking. They made Keontae George a very inefficient rookie. They gave him a starting role really early on. You have Lauri Markkanen not playing now. You have Walker Kessler coming off the bench. It seems to me like the Jazz are more prioritizing developing young players than trying to compete for the playoffs this season, which I find interesting. Maybe I'm wrong, but so far their record isn't exactly great. And they're not really doing much to show me they're trying to be competitive. So Omer may be someone that has value in the short term, and I could see him having value at the end of the season. Isaiah Hartenstein is a very low-end pickup, only plays minutes in the teens, isn't going to do anything to really wow you. Can sometimes rebound, can sometimes get you some blocks, but again, in a deeper format, he plays on a very light schedule day, Tuesday the 5th. So in that deep format, if you need a big man, I would pick him up before other people in your league do, because he could help you on that light schedule day. Only 4% rostered right now. All right, so we're getting close to the end of the video, but before we close out, I want to discuss some of the top drops happening in transaction trends right now by Diamond Tier players. Goga Bitadze is being dropped heavily. Not only does he not play until Wednesday, which is a loaded day, Friday's a loaded day as well. Last game only played 15 minutes. You have a returning Wendell Carter Jr. relatively soon. He can get you blocks, but really, he's a block streamer at this point until we see him get more consistent playing time. And we don't know if he'll even get the playing time he's getting once Wendell Carter Jr. is. He is averaging 1.4 blocks for the season, which is nothing to scoff at, but he's probably going to be somebody you stream when you're trying to be competitive in blocks on a week-to-week basis. Dario Saric is getting dropped after only playing 20 minutes against the Clippers. Had 6 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal with 3 turnovers. I would probably give him a couple more games before I personally drop him, because if you look at his production over the last few weeks, it's not bad at all. Over the last 2 weeks, he's at 14 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1.2 steals, 54% from the field, 79% almost from the free throw line. I would give him a couple more games. He's still adjusting to a larger role. The only caveat is some of that production over the last 2 weeks happened when Draymond Green was suspended. So let's be objective, give him another game or two. And if he continues only getting 20 minutes per game and not producing, then I would cut him. But if you can help it right now, I would hold on just a little bit longer. Santi Aldama has cooled down considerably over the last week. Even in a loss, he still got 31 minutes. He only made 3 of his 10 shots, but the minutes are promising. And the stat line he had last game is actually pretty decent. He had 1-3, 7 points, 7 rebounds, an assist, 3 steals, a block. The game before that had a 17-point, 12-rebound, double-double. Also got you a steal, a block. So Santi Aldama, I don't think is worthy of dropping quite yet. I would give him more time. Now, once Ja Morant comes back, if he gets less minutes, I would probably move on at that point. But I think he's talented enough, as long as he's getting minutes in the mid-20s to low-30s. He's worthy of having, I'd say, in 12 teams or Bismack Biyombo, I do not have much faith in. His ownership has dropped significantly over the last few weeks. He's at 19% right now. He has been helping you a lot with blocks, so that's something you may want to pick him up for if you need blocks to be competitive there. But the schedule this week isn't great due to the fact that they play on that heavy Wednesday and that heavy Friday instead of on the light day. So if you have Bismack Biyombo, I would consider moving on. Xavier Tillman is being dropped as well. We don't really know how that big man rotation is shaking out, but I think ultimately Xavier Tillman is too good to be relegated to a secondary role for too long. I really like his defensive potential. He is a bit undersized, which I think holds him back some. He only played 12 minutes last game, but the game before that played 22 minutes, had 2 steals, 2 blocks. I think ultimately him and Santi Aldama will get the majority of the big man minutes. So if you have him and you want to move on, I understand. But in a deeper format, like 14 teams or deeper, I would pick him up, hold on to him, see if he can get consistent playing time in that 25 to 30 minute range, which is what he was getting before he ended up getting injured and missing some time. And here you can see the list of other players that are being dropped right now. And if you like this little strip right here that tells me how many games remaining each of these players on the waiver wire has, you can get that with the Fantasy Basketball Wizard Chrome and Firefox extension. There's a link in my description. I highly suggest you getting that. It is going to help you out so much, especially when you have to make these waiver wire decisions. But not only that, when you're planning out your weekly matchups. Let me show you what I mean. So here you can see the standings for my Brock Lesnar Hoops $25 league. And I might show you some of my Brock Lesnar Hoops, do a check-in since we are on week 7, show you how my teams are doing. You can see my record there is at 32-22-0. Currently in fourth place, have as many wins as the team in third. Tyler's team has been absolutely crushing it. Plowman has been doing really well, but my team is in the mix right now. And I want to show you my team. So on my team right now, I have Kyle Lowry, Kevin Werter, Max Struss, Trey Murphy III, who just returned, Keegan Murray, who also just returned from injury. I have Chet Holmgren, Derek Lively II, Miles Turner, Stephen Curry, Jabari Smith Jr., who's been playing a lot better, Sadiq Bey, Josh Giddey, who I'm strongly considering moving on from, Scotty Barnes, and then in my IL, I have Victor Wembanyama and CJ McCollum. So a very stacked team. I'm excited to see how this team produces for the rest of the season. Josh Giddey, I regret having, and I'm strongly considering moving on from him. But like you can see here, as part of that Fantasy Basketball Wizard extension, right here, I can see how many games remaining each of my guys on my team has. Not only that, that's not even the beginning of it. See here, I'm playing Plowman this week. It will give me a projection of our matchup for the week. You can see here that for the week, it is projecting me to beat Plowman 6-3. Plowman is tough, though, and a great streamer, so I'm sure it will be closer than that. But you can see there, it's projecting me to win field goal percentage, be pretty competitive in free throw percentage, but it has me losing. Threes, very competitive. Points, I'm probably going to lose, but I'm looking good in rebounding. Steals is going to be a close one, so one I don't want to ignore. Projected blocks looks like it's close, and turnovers, it's close as well. So even though I'm projected 6-3, the categories that I'm projected close in are ones that I might want to focus on when I'm picking up players. I probably won't be making too many moves just because I have a really good team, but if I did have some players I wanted to drop, I would address those close categories so I could try to end up winning the week. We're both projected to have 22 games each, so it's probably going to come down to the quality of our streaming. In my Brock Lesnar Hoops Free League, I'm also right now in the top 4 with a very dominant 8-1 win last week. Another very strong team here. I have Reggie Jackson, James Harden, Damian Lillard, Paul George, PJ Washington, Kevin Werter, Mark Williams, DeAndre Ayton, Donovan Mitchell, D'Angelo Russell, Al Horford, Duncan Robinson, Zach Collins. I do have Trey Murphy III and Bojan Bogdanovic on IL, which gives me some reinforcements that can add some depth to this team. Also projecting another close matchup, but it has me up 5-4. That remains to be seen once the games are actually played. But I hope you're seeing the value of this Fantasy Basketball Wizard Chrome extension, especially if you're playing on your browser. It just doesn't make sense to not take advantage of these awesome features, especially for the low price that they're charging for the value that they're bringing. So in my Brock Lesnar Hoops $50 league, I'm not doing quite as strongly in that one, but I have a really strong team and I like its chances. On this team, I have Kyle Lowry, James Harden, Max Struss, Mikal Bridges, Miles Bridges, Karl Anthony Towns, Nicholas Claxton, Jonas Valanciunas, Jalen Williams, Tyus Jones, Gary Trent Jr., Jacob Poeltl, PJ Washington, Tyrese Halliburton, and I have Markelle Fultz on the IL just in case he's able to give me anything. So as you can see, even though I'm in eighth place, this is a really solid team, and once they're fully healthy, I think it's going to go on a run. Let's see the projection for the week. So it looks like the schedule's favoring me this week with 21 games to only 18 based on what I'm seeing here. But I'm projected to win 8-1. Might even go for a sweep because I'm not projected to get that many more turnovers. Now, there are a few categories that are pretty close. Steals, we're talking about only one steal separating the projections. Free throw percentage, really close as well. But the other categories, seems like I have a decent lead. Assists, also relatively close. We're talking about 10 assists over the course of the week. Some of his players have a strong week. He could be the winner there. So definitely not going to take him for granted. Never take your opponent for granted. Very promising that the projection has me having a strong week, especially when I'm trying to climb up in the rankings, which with a strong week this week, I should hopefully get in that top 4 to 5 range. And even though this league is not branded under Brock Lesnar Hoops, it is one of my favorite leagues. It's a $100 buy-in money league, and I'm finally in first place. I've had a pretty strong season so far, my record at 31-22-1, but a lot of good competitors in this league. Definitely not going to rest or let them catch up. I'm going to be on that waiver wire, and I'm going to be doing my due diligence. But let's look at my team. I've got DeJounte Murray, Paul George, Franz Wagner, Herbert Jones, Al Horford, Trey Murphy III, Karl Anthony Towns, Clint Capella, Terry Rozier, Tyrese Halliburton in this league as well, Reggie Jackson, Kyle Lowry, Jakob Poeltl, Kristaps Porzingis, hopefully coming back soon, Markelle Fultz as a lottery ticket, and Alex Caruso. I had the IL Plus space, so I just have him in there. Hopefully Tyrese Halliburton comes back soon. If not, I'm going to have to swap him in for Alex Caruso. But another strong team that I have here, first place team, and another team I feel very strongly about for the long term. And the last thing I want to show you, that's a cool feature of the Fantasy Basketball Wizard Chrome extension. So if you go right here to the Wizard Daily Summary, you can go to the previous day. We went back to Saturday. There were no games yesterday. But you can see here, Luka Doncic with the 36 points, 15 rebounds, 18 assists. Very strong night from him. I'm not going to give you the full breakdown, but I'm letting you know you have these awesome resources at your disposal via this tool. You can go through all the different lines of the night and quickly start identifying players that could really help you out. So here you have Derek Lively with line number 4 of the night. Kobe White, another guy that was on lots of waiver wires, with another line of the night. So going through here and seeing, hey, who don't I recognize? Maybe I want to look deeper into this player, such as Obi Toppin with a strong night there. Isaac Okoro with a line of the night with 4 steals, played 33 minutes. I love being able to come here, get this quick breakdown, and allows me to identify gems that could be on waiver wires. If I'm going through this every single night and a face keeps popping up and they're not being picked up in leagues, then that allows me to be ahead of everyone. And in a game like this, you want to be able to get to the value before everybody else does. You do not win fantasy basketball by following the herd. You win by having the herd follow you. I really hope you enjoyed this week's breakdown. Went really in depth. Hopefully it helps you dominate your week, dominate your season. And if it is, do me a favor, leave me a comment below letting me know. I love to hear your feedback. Make sure you're liking, sharing, and subscribing if you have not yet. I put a lot of work into these videos, and by doing those small things, it really helps me out. Until next time, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops. Take care.